from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldine. It's Friday, October 21st. Coming up, the pandemic has reignited longstanding turf wars among health professions, and state lawmakers are caught in the middle. We'll learn more from the Trade-Offs podcast coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois lawmakers in Washington are renewing calls on Congress to pass protections for Afghan refugees before the end of this year. The Afghan Adjustment Act would allow refugees to seek permanent residency status and bypass a lengthy asylum process. As of March, the backlog of pending asylum cases was at 470,000, and Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky of Chicago says it's time to act now.
More than 70,000 Afghans were admitted to the United States after the collapse of Kabul, and it was under a humanitarian parole. But that parole is temporary.
The parole allowing Afghans to live and work in the U.S. is set to expire next fall. Schakowsky says there is bipartisan support for the bill. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District is helping nearby counties strengthen their relationships with refugee, immigrant, and migrant service providers. Illinois Newsroom's Luis Velasquez has more.
McHenry, LaSalle, Peoria, and Kankakee County will each receive more than $6,000. Whitney Greger is Director of Wellness and Health Promotion at the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. She says CUPHD was asked by the state to work with surrounding counties.
So we received a grant from the Illinois Department of Public Health's Office of Minority Health to do this work. So part of that grant is issuing these subcontracts to these other local health departments to assist them in engaging in this work with us.
Greger says these services are crucial, given the growth in refugee, immigrant, and migrant populations in Illinois. I am Luis Velasquez, Illinois Newsroom.
The University of Illinois student government is working with other student organizations to increase the number of students who vote. U of I student body president Garrett Forrest says student voters can have a big impact on any election.
Beyond Chicagoland and the suburbs, this is one of the key places to get votes in Illinois. You know, if we can see a strong turnout rate, I think that would be a sign of success.
Early voting in the November midterm election is underway, with Election Day less than 3 weeks away. Forrest says Illinois student government and other registered organizations have resources for students to vote, such as voter registration links and voting locations. You can find more information at isg.illinois.edu. A 12-year-old boy is in grave condition at a St. Louis hospital after being shot in the neck in Champaign Wednesday night. The News Gazette reports the boy was shot while riding in the back seat of a car near the intersection of Dogwood and Saratoga in West Champaign. Champaign police say they found the car with the victim inside shortly after 10 p.m. Wednesday near the Leonard Recreation Center. The female driver of the vehicle told police she thought they were being followed, so she pulled over to let the other vehicle go around. She then followed the other vehicle to try to figure out who had been following them. That's when a man got out of the car with a handgun and started firing at the vehicle. The News Gazette says at least 44 people have been hit by gunfire in 2022. The 103 confirmed shootings in Champaign are about half as many as this time last year. Still to come, we'll learn how the pandemic reignited longstanding turf wars in the healthcare field. That story from the Trade-Offs podcast is coming up next on 217 Today.
People have stories about their old car, that long family road trip, or that first car they bought on their own. Cars generate other kinds of stories and shared experiences, much like the stories you hear on WILL. When you donate a vehicle to this station by December 31st, you could get a tax break for 2019. Call 855-845-1960 or go to will.illinois.edu/cardonation.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Now it's time for a look at the latest in health policy news from Side Effects Public Media's partner, Trade-Offs.
Who can care for patients when, where, and how? That question's been the focus of more than 450 bills and 200 executive orders introduced in state capitals since COVID hit. I'm Dan Gorenstein, host of the health policy podcast, Trade-Offs. Senior producer Leslie Walker joins me to talk about how all this legislation is inflaming tensions between healthcare workers. Leslie, first explain, how did COVID jumpstart all this action in the first place?
Sure, Dan. Basically, the pandemic shined this big light on the gaping holes in America's health workforce. Now, state lawmakers are considering all kinds of measures to close those gaps. One common proposal is to let existing workers do more, practice with less supervision, see more patients, that kind of thing.
And this makes sense. Some data I saw said we could be short 500,000 nurses and like 140,000 docs by the end of the decade. And lots of these bills are aimed at helping workers share the load, but many of them aren't passing. What's up?
Well, Dan, think of it like a competition, and patients are the prize here. So if a law frees up one profession, like nurses, to provide more care to more patients, that's fewer people who need to see, let's say, a doctor.
So in other words, Leslie, as lawmakers look for solutions, these professional groups are basically competing for the business, all saying we can care for the patients better, faster, maybe even cheaper.
That's right. And states are the ones here, Dan, that set most of these rules. So that's making for some pretty tense moments in state capitals like Denver. Lawmakers there ultimately killed a bill that would have let physician assistants, also known as PAs, practice with less supervision from doctors.
That's not fair at all. To diminish what a PA does and the talents that a PA has.
But unfortunately, I don't think that there are enough safeguards to ensure that some of the unintended consequences don't happen.
That argument does not hold water.
Colorado doctor groups donated more than $100,000 to the lawmakers that helped sink that bill. And nationwide, Dan, the American Medical Association takes credit for working in another 24 states to stop PAs, nurses, and others from getting more authority.
I see what you mean by these turf wars. Okay. So, but what about the patients, Leslie? For measures that have managed to pass, how much impact are they having?
It's too soon to say, but very early data suggests their impact might be limited. An emergency order in Massachusetts let some nurses work more independently, but in a survey of those nurses, 75% said the waiver had had no impact on their day-to-day work.
So it's possible that despite this mountain of measures, we might end up with a molehill?
Well, not to mix metaphors on you here, Dan, but I asked University of Washington researcher Bianca Frogner, you know, lawmakers sure are taking a lot of swings here. Have they hit anything out of the park?
It feels like a bunt. We need some more planning that might be happening at a national level.
Her point, Dan, having 50 different states come up with 50 different solutions to this problem isn't the answer. The federal government, in her view, is much better suited to figure out how to get healthcare workers doing the right stuff in the right places. But she told me it might take another pandemic-like scare for that to actually happen.
Trade-Off's senior producer, Leslie Walker, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Dan.
To hear more about how that heated fight in the Colorado Statehouse played out, find the full episode wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Trade-Offs.
Find more health news from Trade-Offs and WILL at illinoisnewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see sunny skies today with a high of 74 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Luis Velasquez, Arielle Williams, and Dan Gorenstein. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.